Well, this morning they actually gave me one of these lapel mics. They said I was jumping around so much I had to. No, he didn't really say that. I'm just. I generally, like y'all know, I move around quite a bit, and I got a lot of notes this morning. So, you think I'm kidding? You can't see it, but I probably have 15 pages of notes here. I'm not going to use those. Anyway, I want to tell you a little bit more about me. I told you some of my story yesterday. Miss Christine, I have to tell you, I'm a diabetic too. I understand. I have to go to my ophthalmologist every year, and they do these silly eye tests to see if my eyes are still good. And I keep telling them, they're getting worse, they're getting worse. And they keep telling me, they're getting better, they're getting better. And I don't know what they're talking about. I mean, I have more trouble reading, so I have to have readers to, you know, be able to read the songs that we sing today. And I also have to have, I am a reader. Now, when I say that, you know, just to give you a hint, I wasn't here for the talent show last night. I left and drove to Lynchburg, Virginia yesterday morning, arriving in Lynchburg at 8 o'clock yesterday morning. So you know I left early. I got back just in time to help bring some people in to a talent show. Now, I was at 7:30. I had just walked in the door. And so I was able to bring some people in, and I was saying, should I stay? Should I stay? And I about fell over on the floor sleeping. So I said, no, I'm going to go back up to my room and go to sleep. So I missed the talent show last night. I apologize. I apologize. That, you know, but I wanted to tell you a little bit about me. First off, you know some of my story about how I came to know the Lord. But I wanted to let you know that I also served in the military. I also have served as the pastor of several churches. I started a church in Iceland, of all places, and that's still going. I have preached in multiple places. I've preached to crowds of over 3,000, and I've preached to crowds of less than 6. So, you know, I have actually taught a class that had one student in it. And I don't care about any of that stuff. It doesn't bother me. God blesses. When he says do something, he blesses. Now, Pauline's here somewhere. I know she was here. There she is back over in the back corner. She's hiding. Now, Pauline, how many people were in my class last semester?
50 to 60.
Yeah, 50 to 60. Well, 2 years ago, my class size was a total of 4 people. But I kept doing it. And all of a sudden, it's growing. I have no idea why. I don't care. I will teach as long as God tells me to do it. Now, what am I telling you about myself? First off, I'm telling you that God has blessed me and given me a goal, something that I should be doing. Is it people? Yes. Is it loving people? Yes. I have a daughter who today is having her 27th birthday. Now, this is my youngest daughter. She has cerebral palsy. She's blind. She's technically deaf. She has a gastric tube, which means that's the way she eats. She does not eat by mouth. She is totally dependent on mom and dad. Now, when I say that, you know, people look at me and they say, man, that's terrible. Now, let me tell you about Rachel. Rachel is my youngest daughter. And let me tell you about Rachel. Rachel has led no less than 10 people to Christ. Wait a minute, she can't talk. She can't see. She's profoundly retarded as well, has an IQ of less than 25. How does she lead people to Christ? Trust me, she does. I have had many people come and tell me that as a result of her, they came to know Christ. Now, I look at my testimony and I say, can I say that? Well, in actuality, I can say that more people have come to know Christ than through my ministries that I have. I have been leading and sharing Christ since 1981. I was saved at the end of 1980, and I started immediately telling people about the wonders of Jesus Christ. Now, does that make me something special? And I'll tell you what, the more I find out about Christ, the more I find out about Christ, the more I find out how insignificant I am and how glorious Jesus Christ is. It's not me, and it's not about me. It's about Jesus. Now, I don't care. You know, people can say all sorts of things about how well I speak, about how well I teach, about my knowledge level. And the more I study, the more I find out I don't know anything. Now, yesterday when I went over to Lynchburg, I went to the seminary bookstore, and I intended on buying two books. I don't have room for my luggage in my car anymore. Now, what's really bad, my wife has told me, this is true, that if I buy a book, I have to read it. So I am stocked up on books. Now, last Christmas, my wife told me I could have no more books. She did. You know what she gave me for a Christmas present? An 8-volume set of Lewis Berry Schaefer's Systematic Theology. You know, I'm sorry. This morning, I want to talk to you about challenging the world. You know, we talked about challenging the world the other day. And, Marilyn, you have to remember, Christ wants you to be bold, He wants you to be better, and He, above all, He wants you to be boisterous. That was my last message from the last message, but I want you to know that that's what Christ wants you to be. He doesn't want you to be embarrassed about anything that happens because of Him. He says that if it does, if you're persecuted because of it, you're blessed. That's also tying in the scripture that we're using over this entire week for our evening studies. Now, what I want to talk to you about this morning is challenging the world by reason. If you remember that scripture that Amy read just a minute ago, it says, be ready with a reason. Be ready to reason with people, to discuss with people what it is you're believing in. Oh, man, if you stop and you think about, do you know what it is you believe? You know, I had a lot of folks tell me, I know exactly what I believe. I know it. I'm down cold with it. And I say, great, I love that. Tell me about it. I believe in Jesus Christ. Okay. Where does that lead you? What does that do for you? Has anything happened to you as a result of believing in Jesus Christ? You know, I don't know. Well, does God even exist? Now, I mean, the world's asking that question today, is it not? The world is asking, does God even exist? Matter of fact, you have men like Richard Dawkins who published The God Delusion. You have men like, he's already someplace else, but Carl Sagan, who passed away several years ago, and his whole message was, the universe always has been, always will be, and all there ever was. There was never a God. That's his message, not mine. I mean, I can show it to you in his books. He wrote it. He was very proud of it. But I want to share with you just a little bit, real quickly, about what the scripture that Amy read just a second ago talks about. It says, be ready. Yeah. Are you ready? Are you ready? I mean, have you ever wondered, are you ready? Are you personally ready to share the gospel? Or to tell somebody what Jesus told you to be ready to do? He said, what did he say? Now, let's just think about this for a second. Let's talk about what Jesus said. Because Jesus is the important thing about all this stuff. I don't care, you know, if we're not focusing in on where Jesus is, we're not focusing on anything.
Amen.
You know, and here's what Jesus said. He said, go teach all the world. Now, he didn't say go teach just part of it. He didn't say just go teach in Oklahoma City, Joel. He said, go teach all the world. Now, I just told you a while ago part of my thing was that I started a church in Iceland. How many of you have been to Iceland? Well, there's one guy back there that raised his hand, too. Okay. Just a stop through. That's okay. Hey, I spent a year there. And we started with a group of four guys who could not stand the preacher at the local church. Because he preached on how good a golf player he was. That was his sermon every Sunday. I went out and I played 36 holes, you know. I don't care. And, you know, I told him so. He got mad at me, but that's okay. I told him so. And so we four guys got together and we started just a little Bible study on Sunday morning. That's all it really was a study. And everybody said, well, I don't know. You know, I don't study the Bible that much. I can't do it. Would you be the one that leads the Bible study? I said, certainly. So I led the Bible study. The first week, we had four people show up. Me and three other guys. The next week, we had 12 people there. We had a room that had 28 seats in it, by the way. And we started. The next week after that, this is the third week this Bible study is going, we had 43 people show up. When I left, we had a Sunday school with 123 kids in it,
wow,
and 314 people showing up for a church service. Now, I want to tell you, you know, I was only there for a year. And I was the quote-unquote first pastor of this church. And people look at me and say, Joel, how did you do that? How did you do it? And I said, I didn't talk about, you know, I tell them, I didn't talk about my golf game. I talked about what the Bible says, what truth is, and told them the truth from God's Word. You know, if you do that, people want to hear what God says. And God does not lie. He tells you the truth. God tells you the truth. Every time, if you want to find out truth, don't listen to Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC. It doesn't matter who they are. Don't listen to them. Listen to God.
Amen.
I'll tell you what. If we would just start doing that, things would be a lot better in this world. Now, the Bible tells us that we have to be ready. Now, we have to be ready. Sometimes, we have to be ready to talk. We have to be ready to talk. We have to be ready to say something. You know, goodness, not everybody in here is a preacher. I mean, there's a few of us in here. There's a few of us. But I want to tell you a secret. Not everybody in here is. And if you're not a preacher and you say, I don't have the training, you, Joel, you have gone to seminary and you have... Did I say that wrong? Okay. Anyway, you've gone to that seminary over there in Lynchburg. You have been and you have been taught all of this stuff. And I will tell you right now that I don't worry about what they taught me in seminary. I read what the Bible says. And I go with what the Bible says. Now, I don't, you know, people look at me and say, well, gee, how much of it did you, all this stuff did you know beforehand? How much do I know now? And this is the thing. I don't know very much. I've had people ask me, they say, well, you read a lot, don't you? Yeah, I have 4,000 books in my library at home. And I have read every one of them. Well, if you talk about the Bible, I read the Bible 4 times a year. But I only read once. I only read the books one time. But I'm constantly reading. And I'll tell you that it's not, I don't read books about other stuff. I read books about the Bible. Now, I've had my son-in-law, who has his doctorate, pastor's doctorate, went to Southern Seminary for his master's, went to Southern Seminary for his doctorate, and he is just tremendously intelligent guy. And my son, who is over in Thailand, is a missionary, is an extremely intelligent guy, and we get together, the three of us get together, and we sit there for hours and talk about Scripture. And first thing we talk about is, yeah, this, how stupid this book is we just read. Like, I was talking with Bob the other day. Now, he mentioned this not long ago, but, I mean, he said it was rebellion against God. What is rebellion against God? It's called sin. Now, Pauline, have you ever heard me say that there's only one sin? Yes, you have. Don't you tell me you haven't. There is but one sin, and it is rebellion against God. If you murder, it is sin against God, and it is rebellion against God. If you lie, it's rebellion against God. If you steal, it's rebellion against God. If you bow down to false gods, it is rebellion against the Almighty God, Creator of the universe. All what we call the multiple sins is but one sin. Now, how can I say that? How many penalties for sin are there? One. The wages of sin is death. Oh, my goodness. What does Jesus say? Jesus said,
I am the way.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Be ready to talk about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The next thing is, you have to be ready, because what the world's going to do is they, and I mentioned this the other day, they're going to come up to you and say, oh, let's compromise on that. There are several ways to Christ. You know, you can be a good person. You can be the best person in the world and still not make it into heaven. I'm sorry. You know, you can have Allah as your God. And Allah is not the same God as Jehovah Almighty. I'm sorry, but the Yahweh in the Old Testament is not Allah. Now, in Greek, there's a word Allah. Okay, I mean, seriously, there's a word Allah in Greek. You know what Allah means? No, you don't? Okay, what does it mean?
It means there's only one God.
No, that's Arabic. In Greek, Allah means but. But. That's right. The answer is, when you read the New Testament, you find the word Allah, but it means but. And it just means, okay? What is it? There is only one God. And that God is not Allah. It is Jesus Christ. It is God the Father, it is God the Son, it is God the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, you just said three. No, I said one.
Amen.
It is three in one.
Amen.
Be ready to tell people about Jesus Christ. Don't even consider compromising on that. Be ready for the next thing that will come to you when you start talking about Jesus. When you start talking about Jesus, you're going to find out that people are not going to like you.
Amen.
I mean, if you're you know, a pastor, as you have been preaching the Word of God, and you come up and you say something outrageous like, you must be born again, or you, which Jesus said, by the way, Or you may come up and you may say, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said that. You know, all of a sudden the world's going to come against you and say, oh, you're so wrong. No, Jesus said that. You can't compromise on it. Amen. You can't compromise on it. Now, in Isaiah chapter 43... somebody else was talking about Isaiah 43 a few minutes ago, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, Cordelia was talking about that, wasn't she? But you know, I have a part in here in Isaiah 43 as well. Because Isaiah 43 started in chapter 40 of Isaiah and go through 53 anyway. Through the end of the book would be well, but if you start there and you get a whole lot of talk. And here's what this says. First, I have to put on my glasses because I can't see. Now, that in a room full of people who are blind, you laugh at me, but it's still true. I cannot read without my glasses on. And I just bent them. Anyway, Isaiah 43:10, you are my witnesses, says Yahweh. And my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Yahweh. And besides me there is no Savior. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody told me Jesus was the Savior. Am I lying? Did God lie? Oh, you mean Jesus, the Savior, is God Almighty?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, I'll tell you what, when you get down, when you grab hold of that fact and you start reading the Scripture and you start seeing that through the Old Testament and the New Testament, persecution will come to you because you tell people that. No, that's wrong. Yes, I'm sorry, that's right. And what do you have to do? Individually, what do you have to do?
You have to believe.
You have to believe. You have to take advantage of the world, and you have to take the world on, and you have to challenge what they tell you. Because they're continually telling you right now, I'm not talking about yesterday, I'm not talking about 2 months ago, the world is telling you right now that Jesus isn't the only way. Jesus is the only way. I'm sorry. And I might get some people mad at me. I've done that before. And that's okay. You know why it's okay? Because my second point tells me that I have to do it without fear. Do it without fear. Not being afraid of what the world's going to do to you. What can the world do to you? What's the worst thing the world can do to you? They can kill your body. Glory, hallelujah! Oh, my goodness. What are you going on about getting killed for? Oh, you mean you don't want to be in the presence of God when He said those who are persecuted for my name's sake, theirs is the kingdom of God? Oh, oops. It's talking about a blessing, folks, for you who are persecuted for His name's sake. And if you start looking at what the Bible says is good for you, you know, if you get martyred for Christ, that's not a bad thing. However, you remember on Monday I started talking about how words have been redefined? Martyr, that's a nasty word. Oh, why is that nasty? Oh, all of the Islamic men who took down the World Trade Center's buildings. They were martyrs. No, they weren't. They were murderers. They were not martyrs. I don't care what anybody says. A martyr is someone... Now, I'm going to give you a definition of what a martyr is, okay? A Christian definition of what a martyr is. A martyr is someone who, without resistance, dies at the oppressive hands of others. Now, you know, we hear about the Islamic martyrs all day long. I mean, we hear this false definition of martyr. How many of you have heard about the Christian martyrs of today? Amen. If you don't know it, there's a website called Voice of the Martyrs. It's persecution.com. Voice of the Martyrs. Persecution.com on the internet. They have a wonderful newsletter and everything else. I mean to tell you, unbelievable! Hundreds of people a day are dying for Jesus Christ. Every day. Do you know that more people were killed last year for Jesus Christ than were killed in all the years prior? Now, you think about that for a second. Just think about it. You can get books on each page of the book that he has put out by Voice of the Martyrs, by the way. They have a story of individuals who were martyred for the faith. And you know what? There's volumes of this book. Volumes. Now these are people... I'll give a story. One story. I wasn't planning on giving the story, but I'm going to do anyway. One story of a 16-year-old Chinese girl. 16 years old, who converted to Christianity, who found Jesus Christ. And they brought her into the police station for being an illegal Christian. And they beat her and said, We can't! And she said, I can never turn away from my Christ. Never turn away from my Christ. And they beat her, and they beat her, and they broke her bones. And said, we can't! I can never turn away from my Christ. Then they brutally raped her. Brutally. I'm not talking about something that's nice. I'm talking about brutal. Brutality personified. And they said, now we can't. She said, never will I turn from my Christ. They took her up to the roof. They held her over the edge. Six-story building. And they said, we're going to throw you off if you don't recant. Never will I turn away from my Christ. And they threw her off. They go down to the bottom. She's still alive by some miracle of God. They said, we can't. We'll take you to the doctor. I'll never turn away from my Christ. Finally, they pulled out their guns and they shot her 38 times. She never recanted. She never turned from the risen Christ who saved her. She had been a Christian for 6 months. Now, I hate to ask you, would you do that? No, I'm not going to ask you that. I'm not sure I'd do that. But she went without fear. And that's how you approach the world, without fear. You know, I was talking with Eva before class, and I was talking about a time in the Air Force when the Air Force put me through what's called survival training. And one of the things that they do is they bury you alive. you think, what? Yeah, well, you know, they told you that they waterboarded people that go through survival training. I've been waterboarded, okay? I went through that training. Waterboarding is where they pour water over to make you think you're drowning.
Oh, yeah.
And you do. Trust me, you do. You don't think you're drowning. You know you're drowning. But, and they do that until you tell them what they want you to tell them. Okay? Now, I've been there. I know what it is. They buried me. And they had half-inch plywood, this box built with half-inch plywood. And I'm in it. And I'm 6'1", in case y'all probably haven't noticed that. And the box is 5'8". Now that means I'm crammed into this box. Okay? I came out of the box. I broke their plywood box.
Wow.
Have you ever tried to break plywood?
Yeah.
It's tough. I broke it and came out. They immediately took me to a psychologist because they knew that something was wrong. They took me to the shrink and, you know, they explained to me, this is all just training. Don't go killing people, you know. And so I got calmed down, but I'll tell you, it wasn't any fun. Now, when it comes to Jesus Christ, are you ready to stand up for what you believe? You know, you have to do it in strength, right? I had a lot of strength when I came out of that plywood box. But I want to tell you what, it wasn't my strength that I needed to stand in. It was the strength of Jesus Christ, because stronger is He that is in the world than He, and stronger is He that is with us than He that is in the world. I got to quote my scripture right. I have to tell you, God will give you the strength that you need.
Amen.
He will give you strength that you need. Not the strength that someone else needs, but you personally. I told you about my daughter Rachel. How many people would want to live that way? My daughter Rachel lives at home with mom and dad. She's not anywhere else. She's not in any home. She's not in a nursing home. She's at home with mom and dad. And mom and dad get up every 2 hours and turn her over. All day long, all night. Every 2 hours we have to feed her. All day long, all night long. Every 2 hours. And we've done this, today is her 27th birthday, and we've done this for 27 years. Now people say, well, that's a wonderful, boy, what a wonderful family. No, it's not. We're just a family. Just like you guys have. But we gave Rachel to Jesus, and Jesus gives the strength. Jesus gives everything that my family has. All the blessings that I have had in my life came nowhere but from God Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ. No matter what they were. If it's good, it came from Jesus. I may not understand it. You know, I came to realize the other day, not the other, it was several years ago, okay. I came to realize that, guess what? Every day that I wake up, it's an absolute miracle.
Yes.
It's not, I didn't do it. Do you realize not one of you woke up this morning by yourself? You could not do it, because your brain would keep you asleep if it could. What wakes you up? Eventually your eyes just kind of pop open and you're awake. Now, if you can't see and you're blind, you wake open. They pop open and you wake up. Maybe you can't see, but you're awake and you know it. And all of a sudden you're saying, why am I awake? I was more comfortable asleep. Weren't you?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I woke up this morning and I said, you know, Lord, I could have slept for another hour and a half.
Yeah.
I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning here. At home, it's 5 o'clock. But I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning here, and I say, God, why am I awake now? I don't have anything I really have to do right now. And God says, it's time for you to get on your knees and pray and read the Scripture. I wake up, I get out of bed, I get down on my knees, I ask God to bless me for the day. I ask God to bless the day, and I ask God to bless you guys. I go through my prayer list that I pray for people for. And I go through, and I say, God, show me where I'm going today and what I'm going to do. Show me that path that I'm on. And if there's a path of persecution, let me walk it. We don't like that persecution path. Now, one of the most important things that it says here in this scripture is that you have an answer. Do you have an answer? I had a guy come to me not long ago. He's a lawyer. He's the assistant attorney general for the state of Oklahoma. Yeah, and he comes up to me and he says, I don't believe in God. How do you answer that? How do you answer that? Well, I mean, this guy is a brain. I mean, he really is. So that, you know, the 15 pages of notes, this is what I gave him. Okay? This is what I gave him. I'm just going to read part of it to you. Now, this is a philosophical argument for the existence of God. Now, I didn't come up with it. It belongs to somebody else who lived about 1,000 years ago, 1,100 years ago. Okay? So, don't think I'm this smart. But I'm smart enough to read stuff and realize I want to use it, you know, if it's good. Whatever begins to exist must have a cause for its existence. Does anybody disagree with that statement? If something begins to exist, it must have a cause. This is called cause and effect. Okay? Scientific terms in his preaching sermon. Oh my goodness, we're in trouble now. He's going scientific on me. Not really. The universe began to exist. Now, I don't care whether you go with the Big Bang theory. I don't care I personally go with the creation theory that says that God spoke it into existence and it was. I believe that, you know, God said, it is. It was. That's what I believe. Now, people talk about, the majority of scientists today will tell you it's the Big Bang theory. Now, let me tell you a secret. What is the Big Bang theory? Out of absolutely nothing, everything came to be. Now, what does that sound like? That sounds like God said, and it was. I mean, to tell you, I look at it and I say, yeah, that's the way it was. We disagree about how long ago it was. It's okay with me. I don't care. I ain't worried about it. I know it was a miracle when it happened. I know it's a miracle today. I know that when we wake up in the morning, I know, y'all might not know this, but I'm going to tell you about it right now. I know that there's 1/8 of an inch that allows you to live. 1/8 of an inch. It's called the ozone layer. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, yes.
At its thickest point, it is 1/8 of an inch big. Deep. That's how thick it is. Okay? 1/8 of an inch. 1/8 of an inch? What does it do for us? It takes the radiation out of the sunlight that you live by. Let me tell you a secret. This is one that nobody seems to catch on to. I haven't understood this yet. But the world says that shows you that there was no God. That shows me there was, that He developed it and He put it all together in the right way. How many people have traveled more than 3 miles to get here? I did. Amen. Now I want to take you 3 miles straight up in the air. No oxygen for you, though, guys. How many of you are going to be alive tomorrow? That's exactly right. You're going to be dead. Why? Because there's nothing up there. 3 miles? Just 3 miles? Wait a minute. Three? You can walk that far. 3 miles and you're dead. That's an awful thin layer for a world that's 24,000 miles around. What does that tell you? That tells you God exists because He created it perfectly for you, that you might have life, that you could live. Now I've got two more things to talk to you about. One is in the book of Genesis chapter 1. Now I want to talk to you, I want to tell you about the miracles that God has done. How many of you think there's something miraculous about corn?
Yeah.
Corn? Yeah, corn.
Corn?
How about beans? I heard the story, by the way. I want to tell you, no matter what you think, it is a miracle of God, because all of those things were created before God created man. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Look at Genesis chapter 1, and you find out that God created light. Why? You need it. You find out God created food. Why? Because you need it. He created air. Why? Because you need it. He created water. Why? Because you need it. He created all living things. Why? Because you need them. He created trees. Why? Because you need them. Why do you need a tree? Anybody ever figured that out?
Oxygen.
I want to tell you, that's a miracle. Trees, what do trees want? Have you ever asked a tree what it is you want? He wants? A tree wants carbon dioxide. What do you breathe out? Oh, wait a minute. How come those things work together? Because God created the microcosm that is life. God created it in such a way that it all works together in a miraculous fashion that could not have been thought of by anybody. And it could not be an accident. No matter what anybody says. I look at it, and I look at creation, and I say, you don't believe in God? You haven't looked at what keeps you alive.
Amen.
Last thing. When you open your mouth, Jesus said, you can't cast out a demon unless there's much prayer. And you have to have the Holy Spirit to pray. Now, people look at me and say, oh, you're going to talk about speaking in tongues. I'm a Southern Baptist. Come on now. I hate to tell you, I'm not going to speak in, I'm not going to talk about speaking in tongues. That's up to everybody. That's other people's personal preference. I don't care. It has nothing to do with my salvation. But I will tell you that what having the Holy Spirit does is it gives you power.
Yes.
It gives you power. I don't care where you stand. If you have the power of the Holy Spirit, you have God working through you, and God will take care of it.
That's right.
Now, people look at me and say, Joel, you get just a bit Pentecostal on me here. And I say, fine. If it takes Pentecostals to get somebody excited about Christ and get goose pimples broken out on the back of their necks and their arms, yes,
amen.
I will.
Amen.
We need to have the Holy Spirit. And I hate to say this. I'm going to say it anyway. Sorry. I get all the Baptists mad at me now. Baptists in particular. Starting about the year 1900, before this we weren't this way. But after about 1900, we didn't want to talk about the Holy Spirit anymore.
So we dammed up the Holy Spirit in our lives. We built a dam and we grieved the Holy Spirit as a result of it. Oops. Now, I have to say this, it's changing now.
Amen.
The way it should be. We need to be tearing down the dams and letting us be the river of Christ that flows out into the world. The river of living water.
Yes.
How much of the Holy Spirit do you have? Now, people look at me and say, what? The Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, says that you are the habitation or the place the Holy Spirit lives if you're a Christian. How much of the Holy Spirit lives in your house? All of Him. Wait a minute. Cynthia, if the Holy Spirit lives all in you, can He live all in me at the same time?
Sure.
Absolutely can! Hallelujah! I tell you what, you ought to be. I mean, this is getting. I'm getting all excited about this stuff. I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, the Comforter of God, has given you power and strength and might.
Yes.
I don't care if you're blind. I don't care if you have cerebral palsy. I don't care if you're deaf. I don't care what your disability is. People look at me and say, Joel, you don't have any disabilities. Wrong-o. Wrong-o. I can't possibly even know some of the things that you know in this room. I can't even possibly know it. I can't possibly know how it is to be brought up in the South in the 50s. Why? I was brought up in the South in the 50s. No, I was brought up in the South in the 50s in the house on the hill with the big house. I was raised with three maids. I never made a bed until I joined the Air Force when I was 22. Now, you think, that sounds funny, but it's true. We had a cook. I never had to cook. Now, I did cook because my father made breakfast and he insisted I learn how to make breakfast. So I have pictures of me standing in front of the stove when I'm 4 years old cooking. But my father insisted that every day that one of my brothers or myself would learn how to cook breakfast. So I cooked breakfast real good. But I can't possibly know that. I can't possibly know what it is to wake up in the morning and not be able to see. Why? Because I've woken up every morning of my 60-year-old life being able to see. I can't possibly know some things. But I can tell you I do possibly know what it is to wake up in the Holy Spirit in the morning and say, yes, Father, I have a song in my heart. I have scripture coming off of my mouth. I have words coming out of my mouth that are not mine. I come out and I say strange things. I woke up this morning, and it was because of what I did on Monday, by the way. But I woke up this morning, and I was repeating over and over when I woke up, Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Listen, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. I tell you what, it's just a strange thing. I wake up in the morning saying things like that, and then I wake up in the morning and I'm singing a song. I don't know if I sing in my sleep or I talk in my sleep. My wife tells me I don't. She ought to know, she should know, but she says I don't snore and I don't talk in my sleep. Unfortunately, she does both. And you didn't tell her I said that, by the way. I give you my phone number. But I look at it. And I look at what God does in my life. And God takes poor, ignorant me. And people say, you're not ignorant. I am ignorant. I am so stupid you don't understand.
I compare myself against God. I don't compare myself against other men, by the way. Now, if you compare that, compare me against God, who's ignorant? Me? I have to tell you, I am. I don't know everything. I know a little tiny, tiny, tiny slice. Very thin sliver. But I will tell you what God will bring to your remembrance when you are challenged about His Son, Jesus Christ. He will bring to your remembrance all that you need to know. Oh, that's His Word. Now, how do you do that? By tearing down the wall that you have built in your heart to keep the Holy Spirit in. Tear it down. Let the Holy Spirit flow out of you. And I will guarantee you, I had a Jehovah's Witness talk to me the other day. Now, I tell you, is that a hard one to talk to?
Amen.
And by the way, the way I get a Jehovah's Witness to come to my house is I see him going down the street and I go out and I catch them. As a matter of fact, one of my friends had a Jehovah's Witness who was coming over to their house every week. And they said, next week, we're going to have my friend over to talk with him. They said, well, who's your friend? They said, Joel Mann. They never showed up again. And I didn't know they even knew my name. I didn't even know it. But evidently they did. And they didn't want to talk to me. Why? I knew the Bible. When you know the Bible, you are prepared. How can you be prepared? You know, Amy asked me, she said, what text are you going to use? I gave her three verses of Scripture, didn't I, Amy?
Yes, sir.
Three verses of Scripture. And then I said, and I want you to read the context of that verse. I want you to read all the verses around it. I want you to go into it so that people understand what the Word says. And when you hear a preacher preaching on the radio and he says, okay, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Does anybody know that verse off the top of the head?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's where you need to go. You need to be ready with the Word. You need to be ready. And you need to be able to go around. And if somebody quotes Scripture to you like that, you say, okay, let's go look at it and go two verses before and two verses after. You do that with a Jehovah's Witness, so stop coming to your house. They will. Why? Because the whole discussion falls apart. Talk to a Mormon the exact same way. You know, people probably getting mad at me.
Could I say something?
Certainly, go right ahead.
The only thing I admire about Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, they get out...
Tenaciousness. Tenaciousness.
If we did that...
Amen. Now, you've heard my entire sermon. That's what I'm talking about, folks. We need to be... It's not they need to go do it. It's not the pastor needs to go do it. Reba needs to go do it. I moved over here to Reba right in front of her, so she can slap me if she wants to. Reba needs to go do it. It has got to be you that does it. It isn't anybody else. God didn't call somebody else. He called you. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. They're working their way. They're trying to work their way to heaven, and you already got it. You already won the brass ring. If you're a Christian today, you already have the brass ring. You're already going to heaven. You are Jesus's. You're the brother of Jesus. Adopted, but you're not the same. I'm using brother as a generic term, by the way. I tell you, as mankind, only those who come to Christ will be there.
Amen.
Norman, you had your hand up.